Tonight, dear friends, I would like just to draw to your minds and to your affections the thought of testimony. I've been struck of late in reading in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 in relation to the testimony of these two individuals, Simeon and particularly tonight, Anna. Anna. It says she spake of him. She spake of him. In Thessalonians chapter 1, we might say we might have the testimony of a company. Paul said of them that from you sounded forth the word of the Lord. That's the testimony of a company. And in 2 Peter, we have Peter's own witness, as it were, his own testimony to what happened on the Holy Mount. But particularly drawing your attention to God's testimony of his dear son, his own well-beloved son. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. And last of all, in John's Gospel chapter 5, we have the testimony of the scriptures himself. These are they which testify of me. If you look in the new translation in the Derby, that bear witness of me. And the footnote says, the scriptures, witness bearers of me. Remember too, the Lord's words to those in the road to Emmaus, beginning from Moses and the prophets. From all the scriptures, he spake unto them the things concerning himself. So that's just a few thoughts that were in one's mind to draw your attention to tonight. And we trust that we might receive blessing from even the reading of the scriptures. And I'm sure that this portion in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 has drawn forth the praise from our hearts as we've witnessed the words of these two people, Simeon and Anna. Unique, I would say, because at the time that they lived, Israel as a nation was in a very poor state. Very poor state. They were under Roman bondage, the power of the Roman Empire. And yet here in the midst of a nation under bondage were two people that God could relate to. It said of Simeon, and again I quote from the Derby, that he had been divinely communicated to by the Holy Ghost. Here was a man that God picked out and given a unique communication that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Anna too, she coming in that instant, gave thanks, goes on to tell us that she spake of him. What a wonderful subject. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure in our own appreciation of Christ, we can speak of him. It might be in a feeble way. Nevertheless, I'm sure, and no matter what way it is, whether feebly or with power, it brings pleasure to the heart of God to find people in this world far worse condition in the time we read of in Luke 2. The world, they might say, has the benefit of the cross. That's past. Has the benefit of the work of Christ, and yet they've rejected him. These people were looking on, and Simeon, by this divine communication, realized that this child eventually was going to die, because I believe, as he explained to his parents, that this child is set for the rising and falling again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. I believe he was looking forward to the cross. But it was divinely communicated to this man. And I could visualize the scene when they brought the child in to do after the custom of the law, and taking him up in his arms, he could say, Lord, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation. A man in whom God could relate to at that particular moment. He didn't relate to the high priest at the time, but to Simeon. A man devout. And you know, it's a wonderful thing that God is relating to people in this world, in this room. And we stand in a more favored position than Simeon or Anna, because at that time the Holy Spirit only came upon persons for a particular reason. It came upon them. But you know, you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, keep by the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you. I remember as a young Christian, I was confronted with an older brother, and he said, what do you think is the most wonderful thing in Christianity? Well, being young in the faith, you know, I went over various things, forgiveness of sins and so on. Yes, he said, but you've already got these things. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You rejoice in your sins forgiven and so on. Well, it couldn't come to me, but he said, do you realize that you're indwelt by a divine person? I know often I've thought upon this. The power for witness in this world is the Holy Spirit within you. We've often sung as children that the arm of flesh will fail you. You cannot, you dare not stand alone. But you know, being indwelt by a divine person is the power for witnessing for Christ in this world. And these two people, divinely communicated to by God, were given to see in the midst of an evil generation glory, wonder in this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. As an infant here, it says of Simeon in verse 25, that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And it says he came by the Spirit. This is the power for witness. When the Lord was presented to him, he wouldn't have a halo around his head so he could recognize him, as it's depicted in some pictures and so on. But divinely communicated to this man. Here is the person that the Lord was speaking of. You would not see death till you had seen him. And oh, he mentioned these wonderful words. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my salvation. It's often been said, woe betide anyone, whoever departs this life without seeing God's salvation. Without having their eyes fixed upon this person, coming to know him as their Lord and Savior. And I would say to anyone, if as yet you don't know him personally as your Lord and Savior, you think about it. He's a most wonderful person. He's ready and willing to bless you tonight. Ready to give you these blessings that we spoke about, our sins forgiven and peace with God. Ready to give you them. He was a man who was ready to depart because he had seen God's salvation. But we go on to Anna, and this was the burden. She spake of him. You know, it's a wonderful thing when men and women and boys and girls in this world can speak about Christ, can talk to others about him, can talk to one another about him. He's a wonderful subject. And it's a subject that shall go on into eternity. We'll speak of the as the psalmist of old, the glory of thy kingdom. We know that's in relation to another thing. And talk of thy power. We can speak about what he has accomplished at the cross. What has come to us in blessing. We can speak about it now. and we can praise this wonderful person. I know this must be music to the ears of God himself. When there are people in this world where Christ has been cast out and still rejected, when there are people who are ready to speak in this most wonderful way about his well-beloved Son. She spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know much about the Greek language, but I believe that this redemption was in relation to their sins. It was striking. I was looking last night, again in relation to those in the road to Emmaus. You remember one said to the Lord, "We thought it would have been he who would have redeemed Israel." And it's in a different sense there. They were looking for the Lord to liberate them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. But here they were looking for something else. They were looking for one to bring them back to God. It's striking, it doesn't say they were waiting for the Messiah. Although no doubt that's why they were gathered. That's what they were looking for. But it's strange too that here was a woman. She comes in that instant and she gave thanks to God. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. She spake of him. She didn't speak about the conditions. She didn't speak about her own condition. But you know, here was one that God at that particular moment was able to relate to. A devout woman. One who after her sorrow, losing her husband, served God for all these years, 84 years almost, with fastings and prayers. She departed not from the temple. Here was a woman who was devoted to God and to his service. And God was able to relate to her. This wonderful experience. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks unto the Lord. You could imagine, you could visualize the scene where she too would look upon the child. Nothing outwardly to show that he was the Son of God. No halo, as we said. No grandeur of the great court. As a king born into this world. No. But divinely communicated to by God. God the Holy Spirit. That here was indeed the one they had been waiting for. She looked for redemption. They waited for redemption. And it says, now I wonder, dear friends, what is our occupation? What is our occupation? When we meet one another, is it the state of the country? The state of our jobs? Unemployment? There might be legitimate things. But you know, it's a wonderful thing when people, believers, can speak about Christ. Speak of him. And you look throughout the scriptures, and those who bore testimony to this wonderful person as individuals, I know this to me is a most wonderful thing. And it may be that in the midst of your work, say, or at school, you may be the only one who has a living link with Christ. And as we've said, this must be music to the ears of God. To hear his Son being exalted, no matter how feebly we may feel it is. But nevertheless, Christ being exalted, Christ having the preeminent place in our lives, Christ having the preeminent place in our conversation, we've got something most wonderful to speak about, or someone most wonderful to speak about. Just like Anna, she spake of him. Oh, she didn't speak about the occupying forces. She had this wonderful experience. He's here. The one whom we've been waiting on, Christ himself, he's here. And you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to bear witness for Christ. the psalmist of old could say that his heart was inditing a good matter. I speak of the things I have made touching the king. And he said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, a ready scribe. You know, a ready scribe was one who was ready to write down what was put to him. But here was a man who was ready to speak. And you know, often I challenge myself, in the midst of this world, in the midst of the evil that's around, am I ready to speak for Christ? Am I ready to give testimony for him? Well, here was one, Anna. Just think of her circumstances. Just think, a widow for 84 years, but one whom God was delighted to bless. Just think of the circumstances. That here he was, here God was, prepared to use this woman. And you know, God might be prepared to use you. No matter how young you are, if you belong to him, God can use you to bear testimony for his well-beloved son. God requires you. Remember the occasion? Remember the occasion when the Lord told his disciples to go into the city? There they would find a colt tied. Release the colt and bring it to me. And if anyone says, why are you doing this? Tell them that the Lord hath need of it. I know I've often thought in it in this way, that here was a great creator. The great creator and upholder of all things. And he required a colt. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ requires you and me, because he requires us to be our testimony for him. Individuals, young, old, no matter your circumstances, God requires you. Are we prepared to devote our lives and our energies for his service and for his witness and testimony? Don't be afraid. You have the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself within you. That's the power for witness. That's the power for witness. He's the one that will give you the words to speak. But oh, we have to have conditions right. Conditions were right in the lives of these people. In relation to Anna, she departed not from the temple. Now, we're not suggesting that you've got to stay in the meeting all your life, in the building. But she served God with fastings and prayer. We've often been told that fastings leaves the world out, and prayers brings God in. And you know, if we turn our backs on this world and all it has to offer, I know there are real temptations there. Real temptations to the young and to the middle-aged and to the old. They're never free from the dangers of the world. In the fastings, we leave the world behind. In the prayers, we bring God in. If there's weakness in the life, the brethren used to tell us, older brethren, short accounts is best, get on your knees. Dear friends, if you want the conditions to be right, to be able to testify of Christ, it's on your knees first. That's where the power is felt. That's where the indwelling Spirit is free to work. And that's where God will begin a work which will see glory brought to his own well-beloved Son. Here was a woman. It's a wonderful thing when individuals can... Well, in Thessalonians, we... Another wonderful portion, a young company of believers, not long on the road, you might say, and they had such a wonderful testimony that the great Apostle Paul could say of them, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord Not only in Macedonia, Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Why, here's a company that you might say were in the good of things. They had received the word in much affliction. Now you remember that these people were living in far different days from us, in a country which is blessed in such a wonderful way. I'm talking about Britain. As regards the Christian testimony, we have laws that are favourable. No one can stop us from meeting together as we are tonight. Such is the laws of this land. And such privilege must surely bring such responsibility. And I would encourage any brother or sister, especially the young, because we were as young brothers and sisters a few years ago now, we were encouraged to get out to the meetings. Here was a place where you can be blessed. We often used to hear, we used to hear on occasions from people, meeting attendance is not everything. But I've thought of this of late, that meeting attendance is everything. It is everything. We function assembly-wise. And if you were to stay in the house when the Bible reading is on or the prayer meeting is on, then the functioning of that assembly, of your assembly, is not really functioning properly. It's missing you. It may be, I don't know the circumstance, maybe you might keep away because you don't like particular brethren. And I've often thought upon this way. If by staying away from the meeting, you avoid these brethren, well, you've accomplished something. But I'll tell you one thing, you've also avoided the Lord's company. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now, you remember this, that meeting together in assembly is everything. Is everything. The Lord looks for you there. And here Paul was speaking to a company. And they had such a wonderful testimony that from you, he said, the word of the Lord sounded forth. I wonder what's going forth from our companies today. Is it a social gathering? Or do we really get steeped into the word of God? Get to the Bible readings. Here they were. Get to the prayer meetings, the power meetings. Get to all the meetings. The opportunity is there. And that's where blessing is. And the thought of one's, the burden of one's thoughts tonight in relation to the Thessalonians was, here was a company that was functioning together. Paul didn't say that from some of you the word of the Lord sounded forth. But from you, that whole company, sounded forth the word of the Lord. So much so that we didn't need to say anything. You had such a testimony. I don't need to say anything. And those with me. And as we said, they were living in difficult days. Here we have privilege. In their days, no doubt, they would be in danger of their lives, some of them. But they received the word in much affliction. And a strange thing to me, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, this is a contradiction. But here was a company in danger of their lives, but they had received the word of the Lord through the apostle, and they received it with joy in the Holy Ghost. And God was able to use that company. And we have a catalogue of things that is spoken of them. Paul saying, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a Schofield with you, I don't know. If you look in the Schofield, has a very interesting part in his notes in the middle. And he links up the three things in verse 3 with the three things in verses 9 and 10. remembering without ceasing your work of faith, that is, the turn to God from idols, and labour of love to serve the living and the true God, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ to wait for his Son from heaven. You know, the predominant theme in Thessalonians is the coming of the Lord. It was set out to them as a living hope. And you and I have this living hope within us today. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Oh, you may say, oh, we've heard it so often before. There used to be a man in Port Sedon where I stay. When he used to hear the open-air preachers talking about the coming of the Lord, he says, we were hearing you 30 years ago speaking about the same thing. Where is he? But you know, Peter in his epistle says that the end of all things is at hand. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Signs of the times would tell us that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And if it was a thing set before these Thessalonians, how much more should it affect our lives today? How does the thought of the coming of the Lord affect our lives? How does it affect our assembly lives? Well, it should be the predominant thing in our lives, the coming of the Lord. It should govern everything we do. Now, that's a sweeping statement. And I challenge my own soul. It's very easy to stand up and challenge other people. But you know, it's a challenging thing to each and every one of us. And here were these Thessalonians. They were waiting on the coming of the Lord, and it was such a reality to them that they were beginning to give up their work and their jobs. They felt that the Lord was coming at any moment. Paul had to tell them. And he went in, in chapter 4, giving the great details of how it will take place. But he doesn't give a time or date, just a challenge that the Lord is coming soon. And we are now living in the last days. Some have said we're living in the last hours of the last days. How true this is. I remember reading about in ministry, it's so very easy for us to look about and see conditions in the world and say, well, signs that the Lord is going to come soon. He says, but don't get occupied with what's going on around, because you'll only get distracted and disappointed. He says, if you want to witness the coming of the Lord, or know with a reality that the Lord's coming soon, get your eyes on the throne. That's where it's going to take place. That's where the action is going to take place. And you know there's some truth in that. Get your eye fixed upon Christ. If we have our eye fixed upon Christ, it will give us an appetite for assembly life. It will give us an appetite for the Word of God, for prayer, and all these activities. And it might be that in our lives, in our experience, assembly-wise, God would be pleased and give us a power that from us his word should sound forth. And we might have such a testimony that will bring glory to Christ. Bring glory to Christ. And so there's a little bit of exercise required. And you know, if you look up the word exercise in the New Testament, we often used to hear brothers saying, "And well, I'm exercised to do this, and exercised to do that, and exercised to do the next thing." But you know, the particular word exercise in the New Testament, it's never used in that way. It's never exercised to do a thing. It seems to be exercised to be something. To be something. Now you look it up. But exercise means we've got to be diligent in the things of the Lord. A little bit effort. And you know it can reap its rewards. It will reap its rewards. Our assembly life, the assembly will flourish if we have, as individuals, a real exercise for these things, a real appetite for these things. And so, just like the Thessalonians, may it be that we might have an appetite for God's things. May it be that we might have our eyes fixed upon the throne and see, well, the Lord's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. You know, it's a wonderful word to our ears that the Lord is coming. We read too in 2 Peter. Here was the testimony of a man who had such an experience when he followed with the Lord. The Lord had taken him and another two disciples up the Holy Mount. I think the clock stopped, is it? The Lord had taken him up the Holy Mount. There was an occasion when Peter fell asleep. You remember? He fell asleep. Three times we read that Peter slept. Once on the Mount of Transfiguration. Once in the Garden of Gethsemane. And once in the prison. Remember Acts 12. Well, here's the time he was up the mount. And when Moses and Elias spoke with the Lord, they spake of his decease that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And while they spake about his decease, Peter slept with the others. It has been said that when he slept in the garden, it was in relation to the sufferings of Christ. When he slept on the mountain, it was in relation to the glory of Christ. But when he slept in the prison, remember between the two guards, he was in the good of the sufferings and the glory of Christ. But he doesn't speak about his sleeping here. Sometimes we've got to hang our heads in shame when we come to a meeting and we fall asleep. It's a bit embarrassing sometimes when you speak and maybe after shake hands with somebody and say, enjoyed your word, and they slept the whole meeting. But you know, here's Peter, he doesn't speak about his sleeping. He speaks about this most wonderful experience. For he, and you know Peter, he was often the one who jumped in with both feet, and the Lord had to calm him down, you know. Lord, let us build three tabernacles. One for thyself, oh, he had the Lord first there. One for Moses, one for Elias. And this is when the voice came out. This is my beloved son. He would have no position alongside others. He is preeminent. For he received from God the Father, he said, honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know I rejoice often that I am connected up with this wonderful person. I've come to know him, Lord and Savior. And I too can rejoice in these wonderful words. This is my beloved son. No matter what the world says about him. So they take his name in blasphemy. God's beloved son. And that's the most wonderful thing to me. That you and I as individuals, as believers, might be nonentities in this world, having accomplished nothing in the eyes of men as regards their achievements and so on. But we know this wonderful person, and to me, all thing. And here's Peter. He says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Here was a man who was speaking firsthand. He had seen it. After he had fell asleep and missed one part, he says that when he awoke, he saw his glory. And once or twice through the last 3.5 years as the disciples went with him, they missed the point when the Lord referred to his sufferings that he was about to experience at Jerusalem. And that was another occasion. But you know, Peter didn't miss the glory. He didn't miss the glory, and he realized about the sufferings too, because he speaks about the sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. But you and I are linked up with his wonderful person in the glory of God. And we can rejoice and burst forth and render testimony to this wonderful person. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, there's enough to go on with Christ. He'll be the eternal theme, the eternal objects of our heart. And you know it's ours, the privilege to begin with him now, to be occupied with him, this wonderful person. And so Peter in his testimony, let us read the verses over again. For he received from God the Father honour and glory. Think of what he received from the world. Received the cross. Honour and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, John 8 tells us that I do always those things that him. Here was a unique person in this world who did everything that he did brought pleasure to his God and Father. Everything that he said, everything that he thought brought pleasure to him. So much so that the heavens were open now at that particular time. For God to declare his delight and his pleasure in his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter would never forget that experience. Oh, I was a bit rash in what I said. Let us build 3 tabernacles. But you know, the voice put it right. In all things, he must have the preeminence. He must have the first place in our lives. He won't take second. He must have the first place in our praise. He won't take second. He received from God the Father. And this sets the tone. Honour and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son. Last of all, time's gone. In fact, we went over. We refer to it in a way. John 5. Referring to the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. We refer to the last chapter in Luke's Gospel. From Moses and the prophets and all the scripture, he spoke unto them the things concerning himself. And all I wanted to say in relation to this, we've rejoiced that we are indwelt by a divine person, the Holy Spirit. We should also rejoice tonight that we have the open word of God. We have the privilege as believers in this land of ours of opening the word of God. You know, there are saints in Russia today who would give their right arm for a page of the Bible. You and I have the complete revealed word of God. And every chapter, every portion speaks. And don't listen to these people who can say you can tear away the first 5 books. It's of no consequence. In all the scripture, the things concerning himself, you cherish your open Bible. These are they which bear witness of me. And it speaks about Christ. And again, I would encourage you for the Bible reading. You know, I think I've learned more from Bible readings than any other meetings as regards ministry or that. It may be that the conditions of the day, that the power for ministry, the real teachers are maybe on the wane. But in Bible readings, there's a privilege and an ability to discuss things. And that's where we're really fed. You get out, have your open Bible.